Okay, we're going to get started. Good to see Lewis and Mimi here tonight. They've been real sick. Glad to see them tonight and all of you. And want to welcome everybody that's watching online tonight to our Bible study on Wednesday night. And everybody's probably thinking, well, he's going to be starting teaching what he's going to do Sunday morning. Now we'll know what it is. No, I'm not going to do that. My granddaughter's been trying to guess, and she hasn't. She's out of guesses. You do? Yeah. I say that's right. I knew it had to stop somewhere, brother. Nah. Oh, me. That's almost funny. You got any duct tape? All right. I've been trying to decide all day what I was going to teach on tonight. And not let you know what I was going to do Sunday. So turn to the book of Acts, the second chapter. And verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is a good-looking row. You made us all look better. Good to see you. All right, let's pray together. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we come before you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for so great a salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, it's good to be in the Lord's house and study your word together. I pray that you'll give us clarity of mind and give us wisdom to understand and to grasp the truth of your word, that we might not only see it, understand it, but we might apply it to each of our lives, because that's what's really important. Father, I pray tonight that you'll speak to our hearts and our minds in such a way that we can take it and use it for your glory and for your namesake. Bless those that can't be here tonight because of sickness or other reasons, and watch over and guide them. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight in the auditorium and watching online. We ask your blessing upon them, especially those that are watching online that are hindered through sickness or surgery or some other problem that they have. We ask for healing and grace and comfort. We pray now you might open up our minds and hearts to your word, that we might hide it in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. For we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and through his shed blood we pray. Amen. John, let me know when it's 6:15. Okay, so I'm going to ask the young people first. I'm going to move, Chad. No, I'm not going to move that far, though. If I was to ask you all, okay? Don't be afraid. If I was to ask y'all, what is a church? What would you tell me? What would you tell me a church is? Any of you? God's people. That's a good answer. It's not the building, is it? I mean, you could have this building anywhere, and it wouldn't, if it didn't have God's people in it, wouldn't be a church. Okay, well, when we say God's people, what are we really talking about? What are we really talking about? How does someone become a child of God? Got any clues? For forgiveness, yeah. So who forgives us? Jesus. Okay, that's good. That's good. How come he can forgive us and no one else can? See, now we have to think a little bit. She's doing good. Y'all help her out now. Don't just sit there like a knot on a log. That's what Baptists do. Golly. Huh? Jesus can forgive us because he paid our debt. He died in our place. He died a death that was meant for us. He took all of your sins and all of my sins on himself, and he died a death that was meant for us. Okay, so a church is God's people. All right, I'll let you all rest, okay? Unless you want to say something. Okay. Then, who builds the church? God builds a church. God builds a church. Who's the head of the church? Christ is the head of the church. Well, what's a pastor then? If Christ is the head of the church, what's the pastor? He's the under-shepherd. Christ is the shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd. Another name for pastor is elder, bishop, okay, in the scriptures. Okay, all right. Now, there's a Greek word where we get the word church from, and it is the word ekklesia. Ekklesia. What is an ekklesia then? What is a church? Huh? Assembly of the saints. Well, that's pretty good. The ecclesia is a local body of born-again, baptized believers. That's what an ecclesia is. When we leave here, this won't be a church, will it? Good answer. Because the church will be scattered everywhere. Because we are the church. If we are a born-again, baptized believers. Okay? All right? Well, then, let me ask you this question. What is scriptural baptism? You're pointing at the baptistry. What if a local church, the ecclesia, is a fellowship or group, local group of born again baptized believers? What does it mean to be scripturally baptized then? What is it? Immerse. Okay. That's the mode. See, you got, that's the mode. You have to be scripturally, to be scripturally baptized, you have to be immersed. That's the mode, all right. What? No, it doesn't. Nope. You can be baptized. Repenting of your sins? No, not baptism. You've got the mode right. You've got immersion. What about the candidate? Huh? All right, you have to have the right candidate. It's got to be a born-again believer. You got to have the right mode. It has to be immersion. All right, so you have to be a born-again believer. It has to be immersion. What about then the authority? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. What about the church? Do what? Oh, he does. It does. Okay, so you all understand that then. When somebody comes up front and they say, they give their testimony and they say, I've been saved. All right, we all know I've been saved. That means I've been born again. What that means is I repented of my sins and I placed my faith for my salvation in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he died for my sins, he was buried and laid in a tomb for 3 days, rose again on the third day and resurrected from the dead. Therefore, God can forgive my sins because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I place my faith in that for my salvation, not in the church, not in anybody else, not in anything else, but what Christ has done for me. Okay. So we got the right. So they stand up there and they say, I give my testimony. I've been saved. I want to be baptized. And then what do? Huh? We all vote. Well, we all don't actually vote, but what do? We raise our hands. Well, what does that mean when we raise our hands? We what? All right, but you really, what you accepted was their testimony. You accepted their testimony that they have been born again, that they've placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they've been saved by the grace of God, and they are a child of God. Therefore, they are a candidate worthy of baptism. And now the church raises its hand agreeing with that testimony, and they give the leaders of the church, whether it is that pastor or another pastor, the authority to baptize that person in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when they are baptized in the right candidate, the right mode, the right authority, then that is scriptural baptism. Okay, so then they become part of what? The church. They become part of the church. Okay. That's how the ecclesia is made up. That's how the ecclesia is made up. See, if a mouse gets in the cookie jar, he don't become a cookie. A lot of people get in the, quote, building, get in, they say, well, I'm part of the church. Not if you haven't been born again. An unbeliever cannot be part of the ecclesia. Only those who have been born again, baptized believers are part of the ecclesia, the church. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight if you hadn't figured that out. Okay, now, Charlie or somebody already said, God builds a church, right? God builds a church, okay? So what we're looking at tonight is how does God build a church? What's the blueprint? What is the blueprint? Now, I'm not talking about getting a crowd. I mean, you can have activities and everything. I mean, you can draw a crowd, you know. I'm talking about what is the church that God builds and how does he build it? Now, in the book of Acts, in the second chapter and the 38th verse, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." All right, now then, when do you receive the Holy Spirit? Huh? When you're saved, when you're born again, when you repent of your sins and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you receive the Holy Spirit. Well, is the Holy Spirit an it or a he? He. He is a person. He is a person. He is co-equal, co-existent with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit. He the Holy Spirit is. Okay. So he is deity. He is God. Well, this marvelous saying is, God that created everything in the universe now lives here. Yeah, God lives here. And when God moves in here, do you know what happens? Change. Change. See, an almighty, sovereign, holy God cannot move into somebody's life and their life not change. If their life hadn't changed, they've never experienced salvation. They could have joined the church. They could have joined the WMU. They could have joined the Brotherhood. They could have joined anything you can think of, but their life doesn't change. It's because they haven't been saved. So you receive the Holy. How much of the Holy Spirit do you get? How much of him do you get? All of it. Okay. All of it. You get him. You get all of him. When you're saved, when you're born again. All right. Now, so that's what he was saying right here. All right. Now look at verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So Peter got up and preached. 3,000 people got saved. So this is the first church that ever existed. There were already 120 because they were in the upper room with Jesus. So now you got the first church with 3,120 people. This is the first church. Well, let's look at the first church that ever existed then and see what it was like. Because if we want God to build Waldo, we got to look at the blueprint how God builds a church, right? Without a blueprint, you can't build anything. You got to know what you're going to build. You got to have the right foundation. You got to have the right plans. You got to have the right material. Everything has to be right for you to build what you're going to build. Well, if God is going to build it, how is he going to do it? It says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Those who were being saved. Okay. So now we've got a church, 3,120 people. We've already talked about it, but what's the first qualification to be part of this church? That's right, Charlie. First qualification to be a part of the ecclesia, to be a part of this church that God is building, or part of any church that God is building, is to be born again. It is to be redeemed. It is to be born again. Now then, local body, born again, baptized believers. Now then, what did they do? They devoted themselves. to the apostles' teaching. They didn't have a Bible. Y'all got Bibles? Okay, good. They didn't have a Bible. You know what they had? They had the apostles. The apostles spoke for God. The apostle Paul, the apostles, spoke the word of God. That's what they had. They had the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, to build, if God's going to build a church, He's got to do it out of people that are born again. Now, do you think, let me ask you an honest question. This is an easy question. Do you think there will be people in these seats Sunday morning that aren't saved? Okay. Yeah, yeah. So they're not part of the ecclesia. They could sing in the choir, give a tithe, help clean up after we eat, help serve the food, do all this stuff, but they're not part of the ecclesia because they've never been born again. But we want them here, and we love them because we want them to see Christ in us. What I want you to see tonight is Christ in me. Because I was just like you one time. Yeah, I was young. I know it's hard to believe. Yeah, I was your age once. I didn't just poof, happen out of a shell and I was 79 years old. Yeah. So here I am. I'm a born again believer, baptized, scripturally baptized, part of the ecclesia. All right, now then. If you get saved, if you're saved, like this young lady said, you're forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. God says He casts them as far as the east is from the west and never even remembers them anymore. Never even remembers them anymore. That's just the beginning. See, a lot of people think, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's it. No. That's just the beginning. See, the thing about it is this. God didn't save you to take you to heaven. That's all we think about many times, isn't it? God, I'm going to heaven. Go, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I know I'm going to live for eternity with the Lord. I mean, when 10,000 years come and gone, I just started. I mean, I'm looking at eternity. 79 years, puff of smoke, like a grain of sand on all the beaches of the world. Doesn't amount to nothing compared to eternity, forever. Well, that's what I'm going to spend with the Lord. But when I got saved, that was just the starting point. Now, God's going to build His church. You got to have people start. And they start by being born again, by being saved, by the grace of God. Remember three things, kids. Grace alone. Faith alone. Christ alone. Not me, not anybody else in this room, not the church, not anything else. Nothing can save you, nothing can change your life but grace alone. What does that mean, grace alone? It means that God gave you something you never deserved. Do you know what I deserved? I deserved to go to hell and stay there forever. But by the grace of God, He sent His only begotten Son into this world to die in Jack Russell's place that He might one day recognize His sin, place His faith in what Christ has done for Him on the cross, repent of His sins, and receive Christ and commit His life to Jesus Christ. And when He did that, God turned His world upside down. He changed His life forever. Okay. So we get saved. We're born again. We're a child of God. That's the beginning. We're baptized. We're part of the ecclesia. Now, if God's going to build his church, you know what he's got to do? Teach. They have to learn. Y'all like Caleb? You better say yes. He might be watching online. I don't know. Y'all like Caleb? He's a good teacher. He is. He really is. And he loves y'all. He really does. But so do I. But that's just the beginning when we're saved right here. That's just the beginning. We've got all the rest. So we've got to be taught. What do we teach? In the apostles' doctrine. Well, today we don't just have the apostles' doctrine in what they said. We've got it in a book, and it's called a Bible. We've got the Word of God. The only way God can build his church is through preaching and teaching. That's the way God builds his church. Preaching the Word of God, not current events, not anything, preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. And you got to do it just like it is. There aren't any shortcuts. In other words, God is going to tell you things you don't like. Does your folks ever tell you anything you don't like? Say, kid, yeah. Yeah. I know, because I once was one. God tells us things we don't like, too. God tells me things about me I don't like. Do you know that? Here I am, 79 years old. I've been a pastor for 40-something years. And God tells me even today things that I don't like. You know why I don't like them? Can you take a guess why I don't like them? You tell me why I don't like them. Not what I want to hear. Exactly right. Why is it that I don't want to hear it? Why is it that I don't want to hear it? Take a guess. Because it's the truth. Now this is really important stuff. You may think I'm crazy, but I am kind of. You know, it don't matter. This is what I always say, kids. It don't matter if you're a nut, long as you screwed on the right bolt. Okay? And that bolt is Jesus. So you can be a nut for Jesus. Okay? God loves me enough to tell me the truth. God, you have to really love somebody to tell them the truth, because a lot of times they don't like you. Know that? What'd she say? I didn't want to hear it, right? I didn't want to hear it because I knew it was the truth. We have to be taught doctrine. We have to be taught doctrine. A lot of Baptists think that's an ugly word. Without doctrine, you'd have never been saved. So we have to teach the Word as it is to people as they are. Tell them the truth. If they don't like you when you tell them the truth, that's okay. God still loves you because you told them the truth. You have to have, let's put it this way, you have to have guts enough that if somebody gets mad at you, it's okay because you love them enough to tell them the truth. Because a lot of times people will just blow you off because you told them the truth. They don't like you anymore. So we have to, they build it through. Now let me ask you this question. What's the difference between preaching and teaching? Okay, John, I'll ask you. You's lucky, Bill. I almost got you. What's the difference between preaching and teaching? He says, teaching, you're learning God's Word. Come on now, brother. Don't let me down.
Well, a preacher preaches God's Word, but
what's the difference?
It's coming through him. It's straight through the Bible. I mean, it's using part of it through the Bible, but like the story,
teaching is this. If the building catches on fire, get out. Preaching is this. When this building gets on fire, you get up as fast as you can and you run out that door and don't you look back. That's the difference. When I preach, I want to move you. I want the Spirit of God to flow through me, to flow to you. And I want the Spirit of God to move you. Because, see, I can't help you, but He can. But if I don't line myself up to where the Holy Spirit that lives in me can use me as an avenue to reach you, then I'm not doing what God called me to do. But in preaching, there's also teaching. But preaching, you exhort. You move. See, God gives... I like to hear certain people saying, y'all. Some people sing with their mouth. Some people sing with their hearts. When somebody sings with their heart and they've been born again, they've been saved by the grace of God, and they're singing about, they're glorifying Christ through the gift that God has given them, and they sing and they begin to sing, and the Spirit of God comes down, and the Spirit of God gets a hold of your heart, and it begins to move your heart, and you can feel it on the inside, and it begins to move your emotions, and it begins to move your thoughts, and you're not thinking about yourself anymore. You're thinking about how great God is. You're thinking about the Creator. You're thinking about the sovereignty of God. You're thinking about the power of God. You're thinking about the grace of God. You're thinking about the mercies of God. You're thinking about the faithfulness of God. And it moves you from where you are to some place you'd rather be. And that's called worship. You know what I hate? Church as usual. Satan loves church as usual. Just sit there. Don't do nothing. Don't get anybody upset. Don't yell at nobody. Don't look at anybody. See, when I preach, I like to look people in the eye. Because you know what I do when I look them in the eye? We're making a connection right now. Yeah. If you talk to somebody, honey, look them in the eye when you talk to them. It's not Facebook. It's not social media. It's not on your phone. It's you and me. We make a connection. And when I tell you I love you, you know I'm telling you the truth. Because you can see it. You don't just hear it. You can see it. God begins to build His church. But God only builds His church through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It doesn't matter who the messenger is. It doesn't matter if it's me or Trad or Nate or whoever that it is. Doesn't matter. The messenger is not important. The message is what is important. Because you have to be taught. Now let me tell you something. You're going to go through some really hard times in your life. Really hard times. So don't let anybody tell you you're not. Okay? But let me tell you something. Jesus went all the way up Golgotha with a cross on his back. Beaten half to death. Cross shoved over his head. Nails driven through his hands. raised up between heaven and hell. You couldn't even tell he's a man. He looked like a butchered piece of meat nailed to a tree. So whatever I have to go through, well, that's nothing compared to what he went through for me. But let me tell you something. He went through all that so that when you go through a hard time, he's right there with you. And you know what he said? Hey, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of this world. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. You don't have to be afraid. But you have to be taught that. I always said good teaching is not learned, it's caught. You catch it. It's caught. So what did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the way God builds His church. That's the way God builds His church, okay? Okay, so they have to be redeemed, and they have to do that. And the breaking, and to fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If I say to you, right after church Sunday, we're having fellowship, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Potluck? Probably, yeah. You Baptist? Oh, that's what I was afraid of. Yeah. Let me show you what fellowship is, okay? Hey, Bill. I love you. Remember the day I came to your house and visited you and your wife there in your home? Man, I felt good. I knew I was right where God wanted me to be. And you have blessed me. Up there playing that guitar. Yeah, you bless me every Sunday. And when I hear you play, you make something happen right in here. And I thank God for you. Brother, that's fellowship. That's fellowship. Sharing your life with each other. That's fellowship. Not a potluck. Sharing your life with each other. See, that's what's really important. What's your name? Kerrigan. Kerrigan. Is that your last name? That's your first name. What's your last name?
Smith.
Smith. Well, you might as well have been a Russell. They give you a common name, too. At least you wasn't named after a dog. Bless your heart, Kerrigan. Kerrigan, give me a hand. It's good to meet you.
You too.
Yeah, it's good to meet you, honey. Don't know what to do now, do you? That's all right. I didn't expect you to. Did you know I was going to shake your hand when you come in here?
Nope.
Did you know I was going to talk to you?
No.
Does it bother you that I did?
No.
That's good, because we're sharing. I'm sharing my life with you. You're sharing your life with me. Where you live?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, you do live somewhere, don't you?
Yeah.
In Metropolis?
In Belknap.
Belknap. Belknap's a good place to be from. All right. Well, I've been to Belknap. Had friends in Belknap. Yeah. That's fellowship. That's fellowship. We're learning. We're sharing our lives together. Is that right, brother?
Right.
Amen. They fellowship. They shared their lives together. Don't be afraid to share your life with someone. Don't be afraid. Because that's really important. God uses that to help Kerrigan, to help Jack. God uses that to help us, each other. You remember that. Yeah. That's fellowship. And the breaking of bread. And the breaking of bread. Well, what's that? What is it, Jason, the breaking of bread? Absolutely, the Lord's Supper. Well, what's the Lord's Supper all about? Aha! Good answer, brother. You might be a deacon one day. You know what the breaking of bread together does? It takes us back to the cross. It takes us back to the cross. And you know what happens when I go back to the cross? I look at that man hanging on the cross. I look at that man hanging on the cross that died in my place. And I look at him and he looks like a butchered piece of meat hung between heaven and hell. And I say, Jack, you didn't deserve for him to go through that. That should have been you. And that should have been Bill. And that should have been John, Brian, Kerrigan. Yeah. Brigida, Jason, Christina, Charlie, and Linda. That should have been us nailed to that cross. So first of all, when we break the bread together as the ecclesia, the people of God, I can say, this is my brother Bill. Look what God did for him. I love this man. Neither one of us deserved it. Look what God did for John. I love this man. Look what God did for John. We've got this in common. We've got this in common. We're brothers. We're sisters. We've got this in common. So it takes me back to the cross. Now, the second thing it does is it points me forward. It takes me back to the cross, and I worship. I realize what Christ did for me. And then I look forward, because you know what's going to happen, Kerrigan? One of these days, God is going to split the sky wide open. And this same Christ, this same Jesus that died on that cross, rose again the third day, ascended to the right hand of the Father, is coming back. And when he comes back, with the trumpet call of God and the shout of the archangel, if I'm not buried out there in the cemetery somewhere, this old boy's going up to meet Christ in the air. So I'm looking forward to, now I've been to the cross, now I'm looking forward. I've been back, now I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to when he comes again. How old are you, Carrie? 14. I can barely remember when I was 14. Okay. When you're 79, you find out that you got places you never knew you had. Do you know what I mean? Huh? Do you know what I mean? Okay, I didn't think you did. That means I find out that I get up and I got aches and pains in my shoulders, my arms, my legs, my ankles, my feet, my fingers are stiff, you know. You ain't got a clue.
I think my earlobe doesn't hurt.
Your earlobe?
Yeah, that's the only thing that doesn't hurt.
It's the only thing that doesn't hurt. Well, they cut part of mine off. See, my ear looks kind of funny here. I went to the doctor and he said, I don't think that needs to be cut out. So I sounded like he was skinning a squirrel, but he was cutting cancer off my ear, he said. Anyway, how do we get on this? Okay. Is it 15 after? So that's the ecclesia. We're all in this what? Together. Together. And you're my... Are you been saved? You been born again? You're my sister. I'm your brother. That's special. You're family. You're family. That means I love you. Means I always will. Means if you need something, I got it, I'll share it with you. Because you're my family. Because they shared together with each other. Now let me, this is the last point, and I'll be through, and then we're going to do what they did. You know what they did? Prayed. Do you know why you pray? Do you know why God has to build a church through prayer? Because when you pray, you get what God can do, not what man can do. You can't build a church on what man can do. You can't do it. The only way you can build a church is what God can do. Now that's why I come to church. So that I can see young people like you one day realize their sin and realize Jesus is their only hope and realize what Jesus did for them and change their life forever. Now, if God's going to build His church through prayer, you know what we got to do? Pray. Pray. And we don't just go home and pray, which is very important, but we pray together. You ever pray with anybody? Huh?
Kinda?
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Because if I prayed for you, that'd be really important. Or if you prayed for me. Or if we just prayed together. See, in corporate prayer, you bond together. That's why we call it prayer meeting. But if you don't pray, do you have prayer meeting? No. See, the church has got away from how God builds the church. You don't build the church through activities. God builds church through prayer. God builds a church through prayer. You heard all the time? Do you really? Okay. What's your name? I can't remember. I'm 79 years old.
Donna.
Who?
Donna.
Connor?
Donna.
Donna. Here's Connor. Take it down. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Creator, Sovereign God, from beginning to end, you are the same. Through all eternity, you are the same. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I lift Donna up to you. Oh, Father, I pray you touch her with your grace. I pray you touch her with your love and your mercy. That you put her in your intensive care. That you'd hold her close to you. That she can feel your heartbeat. She can feel your breath. But most of all, she can feel your love. Father, bless her, wash over her with the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, help her through each day. Give her strength for every day. She's special. She belongs to you. So, Father, I just ask you to put grace upon grace upon grace and bless my sister as only you can. And I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through His shed blood, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
That's fellowship.
Thanks, brother.
It's fellowship. That's church. That's how God builds church. It's real. It's real. It's power. It's the Spirit. It's God. And it goes on to say, and they were all filled with awe. That's why.